That airplane is a little fucker. God damn. All right. It's nice. Okay, hey guys, what's up? It's me, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back again to do another, I guess it's Drunk and Dangerous now, because one of my awesome patrons suggested that as like a title for the series, and I thought that was just fantastic. So, thank you very much. It is a very good recommendation. So, I guess this is technically episode one of Drunk and Dangerous under the official title, whatever. So, 420 Fairy Tales Part 2, because I should have done Part 2 of the Q&A, and I was too lazy to actually write down the script for it. So I was like, you know what, this will be more fun. And I mean, more fun for me, not necessarily more fun for you. I apologize for that. But this is Part 2 of 420 Fairy Tales. I have found the story where we last left off. Oh, I can talk. And it is the fisherman and his wife. Once upon a time, there was a fisherman who lived with his wife in a piss pot near the sea. Lived in a piss pot, huh? They're doing my work for me. Every day, the fisherman went out to fish, and all he did was fish and fish. One day he was sitting with his line and gazing into the clear water, and all he did was sit and sit. Suddenly his line sank deep down to the bottom, and when he pulled it up he had a large flounder on the line, and the flounder said to him, "Listen here, fisherman, I beg of you, let me live. I'm not a real flounder, but an enchanted prince. So what good would you do to kill me? I certainly wouldn't taste very good. Put me back and in the water. Let me go." "Hold on," said the man. "You don't have to waste your words on me. I would have thrown a talking fish back in the water anyway." That's some morals right there. He's pretty smart, too. He then put the fish back in the clear water, and the flounder swam to the bottom, leaving behind a long streak of blood. Then the fisherman stood up and returned to the piss pot to be with his wife. "Hey, man, just heading home to the old piss pot." Ah, that's such a good fucking name. I'm sure it means more than... But I can't think of it right now. Piss pot. Return to the piss pot. Told his wife he caught a flounder, but since it had been an enchanted prince, he had let him go. Could you imagine returning home? And your wife's like, "Hey, honey, how was fishing today?" You're like, "I got so many fish." But that's the worst. They were all like enchanted princes again. And she's like, "Okay, sweetie, you just went back to drink. You weren't fishing," where you're like, "Shut up. I caught so many enchanted princes." Oh, but instead she said, "Didn't you wish for anything?" asked the wife.
"No," said the husband. "What should I have wished for?"
"Ah," said the wife, "don't you think it's awful that we've got to live in this piss pot? It stinks and it's disgusting."
I don't blame her.
"You should have wished for a little hut. Go back and call him. Tell him we want a little hut. I'm sure he'll give us one."
I don't think that's how wishes go. That's a request, then. It's not a wish. He's like, you get a birthday wish, but you don't get like a birthday wish the other 364 days of the year. What you get instead is a, you know, like, look at your date, be like, a Friday request, you know, birthday wish one time a year. He went past that. He missed his wish opportunity, and now he's just returning like a beggar to this fish. I mean, I would reject the guy too. Screw him. He lost his chance to go back asking for stuff now. You're not going to get it. The husband didn't think this was the right thing to do. The husband was correct. But he went back to the sea anyway, and when he arrived, the sea was green and yellow, and he stood on the shore. He stood on the shore and said, "Flounder, flounder."
"Oh, flounder, flounder in the sea, if you're a man, then speak to me. Though I don't agree with my wife's request, I've come to ask it nonetheless."
I like that he totally throws that bitch under the bus right there in his own request. God, what a little pussy. The flounder came swimming up to him and said, I don't remember, what was the flounder's voice like? I don't know, fuck it. Well, what does she want? Oh, said the man, my wife, Isabel, thinks I should have wished for something because I caught you. Since she doesn't want to live in a piss pot, she'd like to have a hut.
Like I said, I really can't blame this woman. I wouldn't want to live in a piss pot either.
I guess that could be a fetish. You live in a piss pot. Oh, you dirty boy. Go live in that piss pot.
Just go home, said the flounder. She's already got it.
The fisherman went home, and his wife was standing in the doorway of the hut and said to him, come inside, husband. Look, now isn't this much better? There was a stove and a parlor, also a kitchen. Behind the hut was a little yard and garden with all kinds of vegetables and chickens and ducks.
Oh, said the fisherman, now we could enjoy ourselves.
Yes, said the wife, we're going to enjoy it.
You know, they sound like two aliens pretending to be humans.
Yes, wife, let's enjoy ourselves.
Indeed, husband, we'll have a great time.
Nobody talks like that, come on. Everything went well for about a week or two, and then the wife said,
listen, husband, the hut is much too cramped.
Oh, she's a hut digger.
And the yard and garden are too little. I want a large stone castle.
Okay, lady, shit, you get out of the piss pot for 2 seconds, and you're like,
I need a castle now. I want a large stone castle. Go back to the flounder and tell him to give us a castle.
Wife, said the husband. The flounder has just given us a hut. I don't want to go back again so soon. The flounder might be unwilling to do anything.
What do you mean?
She kind of sounds like a Mickey Mouse now.
What?
Fuck. Oh, keep it together.
What do you mean?
Said the wife.
Oh, what do you mean? He can easily do it, and he'll be glad to do it. Just go back to him.
So the fisherman left, and his heart grew heavy. When he got to the sea, the water was purple, dark blue, gray, and dense, but still calm. And then he stood there and said,
flounder, flounder in the sea, if you're a man, then speak to me. Though I don't agree with my wife's request, I've come to ask it nonetheless.
You know what he needs to wish for? His balls. He could be like, can I please get my balls back? Jeez, dude. I understand the piss pot thing, the hut to castle. She could have gone like in between, like a McMansion kind of. I mean, hut still sounds kind of shitty, but she was like, I want a house that's got like 4 bedrooms. Like, okay, sure, upgrade. All the way to castle. Oh shit, the flounder agrees to it. You were just spoiling that crazy woman.
What now? What does she want?
Oh, wait, is this the flounder, though? I guess he's really mad now. He sounds like the man. Oh, said the fisherman, somewhat distressed.
My wife wants to live in a large stone castle. Go home. She's standing in front of the door, the flounder said.
The fisherman went home, and his wife was standing in front of a large palace.
So, husband,
she said,
isn't this beautiful?
He went inside with her, and there were many servants, and the walls were all bright. The chairs and tables were made of gold. Behind the palace was a huge yard and park half a mile long with deer and does and rabbits. There was also a stable for cows and horses.
Oh,
said the husband.
Now let's live in the beautiful castle and be content,
he said in a very pointed and obvious manner.
We'll have to think about that,
said the wife,
and sleep on it.
Then they went to bed. The next morning the wife woke up. It was just daybreak, and he poked her. He? Okay. Grimm's fairy tale has a printing error. He. They refer to the wife as he now. And he poked her husband in the side with her elbow and said,
husband, get up! We must be king and rule this entire country!
Wife, said the husband, why should we be king? I don't want to be king.
Well,
said the wife,
then I'll be the king.
Oh, hey. Maybe this is foreshadowing the fact that the wife is going to become a man, like through some weird flounder magic, because she wants to be king.
husband, go straight to him and tell him I must be king.
The fisherman went, but was very distressed that his wife wanted to be king. I mean, is she coming out as trans? Because that's cool. Support her. Support her decision. His decision. Whatever they are. Support their decision, man. But apparently, he goes back to Flounder. Because he can't speak for himself. And he didn't follow my last advice, which is to ask for his balls back. So yet again, he's returning to this Flounder. The sea was completely gray and black. And the water was fermenting from below. I'd probably be a little more concerned about the state of the ocean at this point. But the fisherman stood there and said,
Flounder, flounder in the sea, if you're a man, then speak to me. Though I don't agree with my wife's request, I'll come and ask it nonetheless, because I'm still ballless. Well, what does she want? Asked the flounder. Oh, said the man, she wants to be king. Go back home, said the flounder. She's already king.
Then the man went home, and he approached the palace. He saw that there were many soldiers, drums and trumpets. His wife was sitting on a high throne of gold and diamonds, and she wore a large golden crown. Two rows of ladies-in-waiting were standing on either side of her, each lady a head shorter than the first. I'm picturing so many tiny ladies. Like, the rows are so long that it ends up like one of those little Russian nesting dolls. Like, finally have a lady at the end. She's like an inch tall. Be kind of interesting. I hope they scale down, like, fully in size and not, like, just get cut off. Like, a head shorter than... That's kind of gruesome. Okay, it's probably not that. Let's see. Okay, she had ladies in waiting, and they were, for whatever reason, each one was a foot shorter than the next. They're very evenly spaced. Could you imagine, like, putting out the job application? We have to have a lady in waiting. These are the specific heights we need, going all the way down to, like, 1'6". We need you all to be exactly this height. That'd be pretty interesting. Let's see.
Said the fisherman. Now you're king, aren't you?
Yes,
said the wife.
I am king.
After he gazed at her from some time, he said,
Oh, wife, it's wonderful that you're king. Now let's not wish for anything more.
No, husband,
the wife said as she became very restless.
I have too much time on my hands, and I can't stand it any more. I'm king, but now I also want to be emperor.
Oh, wife, said the fisherman, why do you want to be emperor?
Husband, she said, go to the flounder, I want to be emperor.
Oh, wife, the husband said, he can't make you emperor. I don't want to tell that to the flounder.
I'm king, she said, and you're just my husband. Go there at once.
Okay, so she's still a woman, but she's king and not queen. This is a very interesting society filled with talking fish and pisspot houses. Let's see. The fisherman went away, but as he was walking, he thought,
This won't turn out well at all. It's outrageous for her to be emperor. The flounder's going to become sick and tired of this in the end.
But instead of being a man, turning around and just leaving, he didn't even have to friggin' tell the king to go shove it. He could have just left. Or, hear this, he could go to the flounder and wish against what his clearly power-crazy wife says and wish for things to go back to normal, but with a less power-mad wife. But he's not. He's probably going to go there and ask the flounder to do what his wife says. For whatever reason, she clearly doesn't like him that much. This whole thing is crazy. Shame on you, fisherman. When he got to the sea, it was all black and dense, and a strong wind whipped across the surface and made the water curdle. Then the fisherman stepped forward and said,
Flounder, flounder in the sea, if you're a man, then speak to me. Though I don't agree with my wife's request, I'm a little baby, and I'll ask it nonetheless. Well, what does she want? Said the flounder. Oh, flounder, he said. My wife wants to be emperor.
Go back home, said the flounder. She's already emperor. Fuck it.
Then the man went home, and when he arrived, he saw his wife sitting on a very high throne made of a single piece of gold. She was wearing a very large crown, 3 yards tall, and covered with diamonds and garnets. She was flanked on either side by 2 rows of bodyguards, each man shorter than the next. They're telling us the sizes. I'm so happy. Beginning with the tremendous giant, 2 miles tall, and ending with the tiniest dwarf, who was no bigger than my pinky. Oh my God, my 1-inch guess was correct. They do scale down. It's not just cutting people into pieces. I'm like way too fucking happy about this. Fuck yeah. Size your goddamn pinky. That's a big ass row. Okay. That was like the highlight of my day somehow. Okay. Oh, I got this. Okay, so she's number blah, blah, blah. He said, blah, 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 there's a bunch of people.
Wife, now you're emperor, aren't you?
Yes, she said. I'm emperor.
Oh,
said the fisherman, and he gazed at her for some time.
It's wonderful that you're emperor.
Husband, she replied, why are you standing there like that? I'm emperor, but now I also want to be pope.
Oh, wife, said the husband, why do you want to be pope?
Isn't it obvious? I like molesting children.
No, it's a joke. The pope does not molest children. Okay, it's a joke. Oh, God.
Oh, husband, she said, I want to be a pope.
Oh, that's just what she repeats it. That's her answer.
No, wife, said the fisherman. The flounder can't make you pope. It won't turn out well.
Stop talking nonsense, husband,
said the wife. Kind of sort of British at the end.
If he can make me emperor, he can also make me pope. Go there at once.
So the fisherman went off, but he felt rather queasy. He was trembling and his knees began to wobble. He's suffering from nobulitis. A strong wind swept across the land. The water rose up in waves and the waves splashed against the shore. Ships were in distress as they were tossed up and down by the waves. I'm feeling like this is spoken word poetry. Though there was a little blue in the middle of the sky, the horizon was completely red, as if a heavy thunderstorm were coming. Then he stepped forward and said,
Flounder, flounder in the sea, if you're mad, then speak to me. Though I don't agree with my wife's request, I've come to ask it nonetheless.
Well, what does she want? Said the flounder.
Oh,
the man said.
She wants to be pope.
Go back home, said the flounder. She's already pope.
Then the man went home, and when he arrived, his wife was sitting on a throne 2 miles high and was wearing 3 large golden crowns on her head. That's some fucking overkill. I damn show off shit. Numerous bishops and priests were standing around her, and there were 2 rows of candles on either side of her. The biggest candle was as thick and large as your cock. Okay, that's a joke. The biggest candle was as thick and large as the highest tower, and the tiniest was a church candle. But what kind of church? Isn't a normal, like, human-sized church? A church like one of those really tall, like, 2-story tall giants? Or a church for the little tiny pinky man? I don't know about, you know, it's not really stated.
Wife,
the man said as he took a good look at her.
Are you the pope?
Yes,
she said.
I'm the pope.
Oh, wife, he said, isn't it wonderful that you're pope? You must be satisfied. Now that you're the pope, you can't become anything greater.
I'll think about it,
said the wife. I think other religions would beg to differ with that statement. But I could be wrong. Then they both went to bed, but she wasn't satisfied. She needed a little boy. No, I'm joking again. Don't come for me. It was a joke. Total joke. Joke. Okay. Then they both went to bed, but she wasn't satisfied, and her ambition prevented her from sleeping. She kept thinking of ways she might become greater than she was. When the sun began to rise, she sat at the window and thought,
Aha! I could also make the sun rise!
Then she became quite grim and poked her husband and said,
Husband, go to the flounder. I want to be like God!
Man, wouldn't it be a subversive ending if he went to the flounder and
The flounder's like, okay, your wife is wishes request, go home. She's already like God. And the guy goes home and no one's there. And he's like, flounder, she wasn't there. And the flounder's like, fuck yeah. And then you're like, oh shit, atheist propaganda. Because his wife, okay, whatever. It's a joke. It's a joke. Ah, okay, I can get through this. Okay, so now the old man's limbs began to tremble, and he was filled with fear. Outside, a great storm was raging so much that all the trees and mountains were shaking. The sky was pitch black, and there was thunder and lightning. Black waves rose up from the sea as high as mountains, and they all had crests of white foam on top. Then the fisherman said,
flounder, flounder in the sea, if you're a man, then speak to me. Though I don't agree with my wife's request, I've come to ask it nonetheless.
Well, what does she want? The flounder asked.
Oh, he said, she wants to be like God.
Go back home. She's sitting in your piss pot again.
And that's where they are all sitting this very day. Okay, I kind of have a couple questions about this. Are they saying that to be God is to be like living in a toilet? I mean, are they saying that God is in all of us? Are they saying it doesn't matter if God is a person living in a piss pot, he's still God, so technically she's still God? Or was the flounder just like, nope, being at God is my limit, so now you're going to be in your toilet again? Please comment below if... what with your interpretation of this ending. I don't really know with these fairy tales anymore. I don't understand. All right, now. This. All right, our next story tonight is a story about a brave tailor. That's it. It just says a story about a brave tailor. One. I think that's a one. Yes, one. I guess there are multiple parts of this. Oh, God, help us. Once in the little city of Romandia, a tailor was sitting and working, and he had an apple lying nearby. There was also many flies around the apple, as was usual during the summertime. The tailor became angry, and he took a piece of cloth. Then he hit the flies on the apple and killed 7 of them. Wait a minute. Did he just, like, smash a fuck ton of flies on his apple? Because, I mean, I'm sure, like, he knocked them off and killed them, but I'm picturing him just, like, mashing them up against his apple and being like, don't eat my apple, you just disgusting flies, and he just got this apple fucking covered in flies he killed. Just go, move away. How many fucking flies are there? Is the apple already open? Why are they, you know, all around this fucking apple? It hasn't been cut. There's no juice on the outside. There'd be no reason to congregate around an apple, especially 7 of them. That's a fuck ton of flies. Any better way to handle their sewage? Okay, the guy he killed 7 flies that were on his apple. When the simple-minded tailor saw this, he thought that he had taken care of the situation quite well, and he soon had a beautiful suit of armor made for himself and also had golden letters inscribed that read, 7 with 1 stroke. That sounds like a guy masturbating, and he's describing how many inches he can handle, and he's like, 7 in 1 stroke. Also, he's that proud of killing 7 flies at once. That... he had it inscribed in his armor. It's like the least badass thing I can imagine.
Oh yeah, I killed 7 at once one time. One stroke. Oh man, you killed 7 men with 1 swing of your blade? No, you fool. 7 flies on 1 apple.
Whoa, watch out, we got a badass here. 7 in 1 stroke, baby. Oh, God. Then, dressed in his armor, he went into the street. And whoever saw him believed that he killed 7 men with 1 stroke. I totally... After that, everyone was very terrified of him. So, why does the fact that he killed 7 flies even make a difference? Like, at that point, they're just saying the moral of the story is you can lie and look like a badass, and people will be like, oh shit, I'm just gonna put, like, you know, get my hoodie and just have it stitched on there. It's like, you know, I killed 12 men one time. Don't fuck with me. That's what it would say. Like, on my, people are like, oh shit, it's inscribed. It's got to be true. So 7 in one stroke. 7 in one stroke. That's impressive. Now, in the same region, there was a king whose praise resounded far and wide, and the lazy tailor made his way to the king's court, lay down on the grass, and slept. The royal servants, who went in and out of the castle, saw the tailor in a splendid suit of armor and read the inscription. They were very puzzled about what this warrior was doing in the king's courtyard during a time of peace. They thought he was undoubtedly a great lord. The king's counselors, who had also seen the tailor, informed his majesty that this man could be very useful whenever there might be a conflict. He's like, can I see your manager? And I'm like, oh shit. That Karen fucking took down 7 employees in one stroke. The king was very satisfied with their advice and soon summoned the well-armored tailor and asked him whether he wanted to enter his royal service. The tailor answered right away and told his majesty the king that this is why he had come and asked him to tell him where he might be of use to the king. The king immediately accepted him into his service and gave him special lodgings. People here really, really gullible if something's inscribed on something, you know? Like, if you went up to the king and were like, hey, you should hire me. I've killed 7 men in one stroke. He's not going to believe you, but it's inscribed on your armor. So they're like, what else could this be referring to? Because they don't have dirty minds like I do. Dirty minds. I didn't say that right the first time, did I? Fuck. Now, it didn't take long for the knights to show the good tailor their ill will. They wished the devil would cart him away. I guess that means they wish he would die and go to hell. But they were afraid that if ever they had differences, they wouldn't be able to stand up to him because he killed 7 with one stroke. So they continually thought of ways to get rid of this warrior. Finally, they discussed the situation with one another and agreed that they would all go to the king and ask to be released from his service, and the king granted their wish. The king was sad to lose all his knights on account of one man, and he wished he had never laid eyes on him. Indeed, he actually wanted to get rid of him, but he didn't dare to discharge him for fear that the tailor might kill him and all his people and take over the realm. His realm is what it says, but yeah. The king pondered the situation for a long time, going back and forth in his mind, talking like this, until he hit upon a plan. Since he needed such a strong and powerful warrior, he summoned the tailor and offered a following proposal. There were 2 giants living in the forest in the king's country, and they were causing great damage by robbing, murdering, and burning people. Nobody could get near them because they tore apart anyone who approached. That sounds like Ingrid. But apparently there are 2 of them. Neither weapons nor anything else helped. However, if the tailor could conquer these 2 giants and kill them, the king promised him he would receive the king's only daughter for his wife, and 1/2 the kingdom as dowry. Moreover, 100 knights were to accompany him and lend him assistance. The tailor felt good about this proposal, especially since he would become the king's son-in-law, and he replied that he very much liked to kill the giants, but he didn't need the help of the knights, for he knew quite well how to kill the giants. Then he went to the forest, and after he left the knights at the edge of the woods, he entered and began looking to see if he could find the giants in the distance. After he searched for a long time, he found them sleeping and snoring beneath a tree. The tailor didn't have to think long about what to do. He quickly filled his shirt with stones and climbed up the tree under which they were sleeping. He then threw 1 stone after another onto the chest of one of the giants until they woke up. The giant became angry with his companion and asked him why he was hitting him. The other giant excused himself as best he could. Then they lay down to sleep again, and the tailor threw a stone at the other giant. He too became angry and asked his companion why they were throwing stones at him. They quarreled for a while, but since they were tired, they let it pass, and their eyes closed again. When the tailor threw a stone at the first giant again with all his might, and the giant couldn't tolerate his companion doing this anymore, he hit him violently because he thought, like, that it was his companion who had struck him. No shit, we got it at this point. Don't tell it again. Well, the other giant didn't like this and stood up. They both became so furious that they ripped trees from the ground and began beating each other to death. Fortunately, they didn't tear up the tree that the tailor was sitting in. When he saw what had happened, he summoned his courage, which he normally didn't have, and climbed cheerfully down the tree. Then he stabbed the giants with his sword a few times to create wounds, left the forest to meet the knights, who asked him whether he'd seen the giants. That's pretty brutal, to mutilate the corpses of them afterward. The knights doubted very much that he could come away from the giants without being wounded, so they rode into the forest to inspect this miracle and found everyone just as the tailor had said it was. Everything just as the tailor had said it was. While they all felt astonished, they also felt great horror. Indeed, they felt worse than ever. They feared that he might kill them all if they suspected they were his enemy, so they rode home and told the king about the tailor's deed. Now the tailor wished to have the king's daughter along with half the realm, but when the king saw that he had killed the giants, he regretted that he had promised his daughter in marriage to the unknown warrior, and began thinking of a way to break his promise, for he had no intention of giving his daughter to him. So he said to the tailor that there was a unicorn in the forest that... Are they going to kill another unicorn? Again? Good God! And ordered his escorts to remain outside... Oh, that was not right. Oh, so he said to the tailor that there was a unicorn in the forest that had caused great damage by harming fish and people. That last part sounds made up. And if the tailor captured the unicorn, this king would give him his daughter. Dude's got a thing about pimping out his daughter. The tailor was satisfied with his proposal. This proposal. I meant to say it like that. So he took some rope, went to the forest, and ordered his escorts to remain outside. He wanted to enter alone, and as soon as he went into the forest, he saw the unicorn charging at him and intent on killing him, probably because y'all are going around killing unicorns all the time. However, the tailor was nimble, and he waited until the unicorn was very close before jumping behind a nearby tree. Meanwhile, the unicorn was running at full speed and couldn't turn, so that it thrust its horn into the tree so hard it became stuck. When the tailor saw this, he went to the unicorn, put the rope around its neck, and tied it to the tree. Then he left the forest and announced his victory over the unicorn. Once the king learned the tailor's triumph, he became tremendously sad and didn't know what to do, for the tailor continued to desire his daughter. So once again the king demanded that he perform a task and capture a wild boar that was running around in the forest, and if he succeeded, the king would immediately give him his daughter. Okay, couple thoughts. Maybe boar in this realm are much rarer than they would be here, but I feel like if somebody's like either capture or kill this crazy unicorn or catch a wild boar, it's not like a magical wild boar. It's not anything that's like 7 feet tall. It's just a wild boar. Are they that hard to catch that they are more difficult than killing two giants or like capturing a unicorn? I feel like of the three tasks set to me right now, I'm much more likely to accomplish catching a wild boar than I am the first two. I'm just stating this as a citizen of planet Earth, though, so what do I fucking know about wherever fucking land this shit came from? And again, I am lost. Big surprise. Okay. The king's huntsmen were to lend him a hand. So the tailor went off to the forest with the huntsmen, but he ordered them to stay outside, and they were pleased, for the wild boar had already given them such rough treatment that they had no desire to chase it. And they thanked the tailor very much. Once the tailor entered the forest, the boar charged at him, foaming at the mouth and gnashing its teeth, and sought to trample him to the ground. I know what he needs to do. Get his armor and be like, did you see this inscription? And the boar's like, I give up. You killed 7 men. It works for everyone else. And they can all talk here, so they should be able to read. Fortunately, there was a chapel in the forest where people often rested, and it was nearby. When the tailor saw it, he ran inside and jumped right out again through one of the windows. The boar followed him inside, while the tailor ran around on the outside, slammed the door shut, and locked the boar in the little church. He then went and announced to the huntsmen that he had captured the boar. In turn, they rode to the king and informed him of the tailor's deed. It's not clear whether the king liked it or not, and that doesn't matter. That bitch had to take it, every last inch.
He had to give his daughter to the tailor. However, I'm certain that if he had known that the hero was actually a tailor, he would have put a noose around his head instead of giving his daughter to him. As it was, the king had to give his daughter to this stranger, but with grave concern. Thereafter, the tailor didn't ask much, but just thought about becoming the king's son-in-law. So the wedding took place with little joy, and a king was made out of a tailor. After he had spent some nights sitting next to his bride, the tailor began talking in his sleep and said,
"Boy, finish that jerkin and mend the trousers fast, or else I'll give you a whack on your head with my yardstick."
Well, his wife happened to hear all of this, and she went to her father to complain. She begged him to help her get rid of her husband, who was nothing but a tailor. The king was cut to the heart when he heard that he had given his only daughter to a tailor. That's a pretty fast assumption. He was talking in his sleep. Ergo, he's a tailor. Like, he couldn't have been dreaming about being a tailor. What the fuck? I dream about doing stupid shit all the time that I can't actually do, that I'm not. I've had to perform surgery in my dreams. But if I was like, "Doctor, hand me the scalpel in my sleep," people wouldn't be like, "Oh shit, you're dating a surgeon." Nobody would think that. Like, that's it. You're secretly a surgeon. Go to work at the hospital because we know you're a surgeon. That's a bad excuse. So he consoled her as best he could and told her to leave the door of her bedroom open that night. Then he's going to console her in the Pornhub way. Then he would post some servants outside, and when the tailor began to talk, they would go inside and do away with him. The king's daughter was content with this plan. However, the king had a weapons-bearer at his court who was kindly disposed to the tailor, and he had overheard everything. It's time to mow down those bitches. So he went quickly to the young king and informed him about the plot against him and advised him to protect himself as best he could. The tailor was very grateful and assured his friend that he knew how to take care of this matter. When night arrived, the tailor went to bed with his young queen and pretended to fall asleep, where she secretly got out of the bed, went to the door, opened it, and got back into the bed. As soon as the tailor heard this, he began to talk loudly as if he were talking in his sleep, and so loudly that the servants outside the door could hear him.
"Boy, finish that jerkin' amid the trousers fast, or else I'll give you a whack on your head with my yardstick. I've slain 7 with one stroke, killed 2 giants, captured a unicorn, and trapped a wild boar. Do you think I'm afraid of those fellows waiting outside my door?"
When the men heard the tailor's words, they fled as if the wild host of hell were after them, and nobody wanted to do anything to him after this. Thus the tailor remained a king for the rest of his life. He stayed married to the girl who tried to have him killed. Do you think, like, every night after that was, like, hate-fucking? How? I mean, I get you can't obviously leave her and be a king still, but, like, holy shit. I guess he really is a gold digger, huh? Otherwise, you know, he'd have some decency. But then if he was like, "No, I'm rejecting your daughter," then he'd definitely be executed. So he's probably shit out of luck there. Fuck, though. Married that for the rest of your fucking life? I don't know if I could do it. Shit, guys. You know, I was going to do part 2, but this ran really freaking long. So I guess I will do part 2 next time. Oh shit, and the story after that is Cinderella. So I am sure I'm going to have a really good time pulling that one apart for being weird as fuck and me being used to the Disneyfied version. Although I do remember some of the more dark parts of it, like the sisters cutting off their heels and toes and shit. All these fairy tales are really weird. At first, you hear, like, they're really gruesome and you're thinking, oh man, like, that's kind of cool. But then when you get into it and you start actually reading some of these more obscure ones, they're just fucking weird. Like, it's not necessarily that, yes, they're definitely more sexual and more, there's a lot of murder and stuff like that. But actually, are they more sexual, or am I making them more sexual? I think it's just me doing it. Okay, but they're, at the very least, they're a fuck ton more violent. There are animals getting killed left and right. No one gives a shit. It's very interesting. Lots of kings giving away their daughters. But then there's also the really weird stuff, like if I'll fill up my boot with water and if it stays and I'm getting married again, like, or Gretel eating crab legs or crab shells. That's it, crab shells. No actual meat in there. There's a lot of weird shit in these fairy tales, and I'm glad that we can discover it all together. And with that being said, next week I will be back, so I'm going to be doing part 2 of the character Q&A. And thank you guys so much for listening if you stuck around for this whole thing. I love you so much, and I will talk to you next week. Mwah!
Bye.